following is a remastered version of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Pulse Gamecast, episode 37. I'm Gradle.
And I'm Jason.
I kind of stumbled over that because for some reason that doesn't seem right. But I guess I know, it right? is.
The show might say 35, but I think that's full of crap.
I think it is 35. Well, I don't know that's where okay. I got 37.
Well, let's add two more onto it just because we're that freaking awesome, right?
Time travel. So let's go with 35. Let's see, today's record date is July 29th, 2014. As we do every week, Jay, what's been keeping you busy?
School mostly, but in the game world, I updated a whole bunch of stuff on Steam, and one of the things that popped up was Talisman, and I was like, man, I haven't played Talisman in a while. And I had the Reaper expansion, but I never bought the new Frost March, I think is the name of it. And so Frostmarch was out. I tried to sneak it in, but my wife caught me while I had my credit card in my hand, and I had to pay a phone bill instead. So, that being said, I played a couple of, you know how that game is. For anybody who hasn't played it, it's a digital rendition of the Talisman board game produced by Games Designers Workshop. Oh, so many years ago. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably got in, I guess, 15 rounds or so. And then I had to just pause it, and luckily that's the way that game's designed. I'm not playing multiplayer, though I would love to, hint, hint.
Yeah.
So for anybody who, you know, wants to play, go ahead and send me an invite. Love to play multiplayer, you know? So, yeah. All right, that was about it for me. What about you?
Well, I would play multiplayer, too, if someone were actually ever online. Hint, hint.
Message for you, sir.
All right, so for me, as usual, my palate cleanser has been Team Fortress 2. What I've kind of discovered, or not discovered, what I've been kind of doing is kind of learning the Spy class, which I've never really played before. And I can see the appeal. Your Spy, you know, Team Fortress 2, team-based PvP, very comical, very funny. Your Spy is a... you go invisible and you sneak and backstab and you sap or deconstruct equipment and turrets that have been built. I see the appeal because, man, there's just, god dang, to hide in a corner and watch some people come running out of their base and you sneak up behind them, just ka-ka, ka-ka, and just kill them in one shot. Man, that's freaking appealing. But you are by far the wimpiest class out there, so, I mean... if you're discovered, you're dead. There's just no way around it. But I've been playing a lot of Team Fortress 2, trying to learn the Spy class. Of course, Final Fantasy 14, A Realm Reborn. I've talked about how I have all my tunes. I have an archer. I have a this and a that. And
phrasing.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, you said archer.
Archer, phrasing. Looks like Blacklace is maybe listening in to us. Hello. Thank you. We'll see you later. I was just saying hello to her. She was finishing up her show.
Never get to talk to her anymore.
Sorry there. I was finishing up with her. She does our intro and outro. Yeah, so Final Fantasy 14, as I said, each class can learn every class. Each class can learn every job. So I've kind of started... what I have talked about with my consolidation tune. So I've started an Elizan, who are the elves, an archer, and I'm planning on working towards a bard as my initial one. So I'm probably going to lay off of all the other tunes and focus on the Elizan archer. Let's see. Also, as I was telling Jay before the show... I've kind of reconnected with an old friend via Facebook, and he's going to purchase, supposedly, the Secret World, and he'll jump in and we'll do some running around and killing zombies and whatnot. And he's still big into Star Trek Online. I know. Now his name's Dave. It was my friend Dave and
we like
Bruce.
You, Dave.
Dave and Bruce. We started Stowe together when it first launched, and we played for a while, and then of course everyone headed out and did their own little thing. But Dave is apparently still playing, so I've downloaded Stowe. I've re-downloaded it.
Wow.
Ah, man.
Yeah.
I'm trying, dude. I don't know.
It's not a perfect world, is it?
Yeah. Perfect world.
But I'm bumped.
But I'm dumb. So I don't know. Ultimately, I think I'm probably going to end up wiping it out again. But
even you have the Odyssey class?
No. No, my
don't have the Odyssey.
No, now I do have a 41, level 41 engineer. So I think I could get it. Because I think the Odyssey is a heavy cruiser or a,
yeah.
What do they call them?
Yeah, it's a Star Cruiser. It's a
Star Cruiser.
Basically,
yeah,
it's a reskin Star Cruiser, yeah.
So
but,
I think
I
could get it.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, the Odyssey really changed my whole outlook on Star Trek Online, because it was just like, you know, you could only get those epic few ships, like the one with the Lance, the Galaxy class with the Lance, and then the Galaxy class that separated. But when they went that different route with the, and I don't know, I can't remember the guy who took over, I think it was Brand Flakes or something like that, right about that time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, whoever it was who took over ship design, and they produced this Galaxy class, I mean this Star class, it had three different, I don't know if you want to call them, it served three different purposes. You had the engineer one, the tactical one, and then the science one, right?
Yeah.
And it came in packs. You could buy them, I think it was like, you know, like basically $10 a piece or $8 a piece or something like that. Or you could just pay for it and get all three classes at one time. But when you mix those what do you call them? The terminals. Is that what they're called? You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Anyway, when you mixed all three of those terminals, you got one that could separate. Basically, it was as fast as a cruiser, as fast as an escort, but had the cruiser backup as the saucer. Then you had the Odyssey that followed behind you, the little, you know, you basically were running tank for this little bitty, you know, decimator that ran behind you that was sort of like a drone. And then you had the little drone bee things, right? And then the science class, oh my God, the science class was just a beast as far as all the, well, anyway, that being said, when you manipulated all three of those into one ship, it was a super ship. And everyone said, you know, that kind of ruined the game stuff. But the casual player like me really came back. So I'm just saying, if you haven't gotten that and you're thinking about jumping in with your buddy and you want to spend a little money since he's buying TSW, you might want to go ahead and, if you're going to spend just a little bit of cash in there, talk to your wife, see if she'll let you have the Odyssey class and buy all three of them and put those terminals together. I always forget what they're called, but put those three pieces together into one ship and fly that bad boy. And I guarantee you will not be disappointed.
You know, I've played like twice over the weekend, or never more than like 15, 20 minutes each time. And I am liking the science. And we've talked about this, I know. And I know you played science, I think.
Yep, that's my ships.
But I'm not playing them as a healer buffer so much as a debuffer. But I'm freaking loving that system targeting that the science vessels have. Holy crap.
You don't have to pay for it. You can just hit those subsystems.
Yeah. That is great, dude, because, you know, I remember playing at launch a science vessel, and man, you were just weak as crap, and it took forever to kill anything, because, you know, you had, like, one fore weapon and one aft weapon, and that was it, and it took forever, but now I roll in there, blam, knock out the shields, then unload on them, and, of course, if they get shields back up, knock out the subsystems. And then they start losing stuff left and right. Oh, man, it's great. It's awesome.
And you're dependent on, I mean, well, science, and I don't know about how you played it, but I was highly dependent on my science officers, whoever at their stations.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I was all the time, Tyken's Rift, and what was the other one? The one that drops a virus in their computer. I always forget the name of it.
Yeah,
but
I'd
virus them up, drop a Tyken's Rift, use, because all science vessels are more maneuverable than anything else other than an escort.
Oh, yeah.
So then I'd get in close, or you can cloak. A lot of times you can use the cloaking and come in behind them if you have better, you know, one-shot weapons. And a lot of your science vessels can also equip cannons, much like the escorts can. So, you know, I've seen people equip a science vessel that'll easily take out a tactical in a one-on-one. So, that being said, you know, it's how you equip your bad boy. But I'm telling you, man, that that Odyssey, or, you know, if you want to go ahead with your science. Anyway, look, we're getting into Stowe here. What are we doing? What's your friend's name? Me and him are going to have talk, man.
Right. So, played some Stowe, and I don't know. I'm probably going to get rid of it, but I don't know. If I can stick to space, I enjoy the game. I love the game in space. I hate the ground.
Hate the ground. Yep. Amen. Amen.
And then, so we'll get off Stowe. I'll get off Stowe. And the last thing I've been doing is The Secret World. I bought but haven't done anything with issue 8, which is the Venice. Shoot, I can't
agenda.
Remember. Agenda. The Venice. Yeah, Venetian agenda. Venetian agenda. And honestly, the only reason I bought this issue is because I want to be able to do Dracula's Castle. That's the only reason I bought the issue. Now, the scenario. I know you can buy the individual scenarios, but if I'm going to spend 720 coins, which I think is $5-$7, I might as well spend...
Yeah, it's just shy of 10 bucks.
Yeah, I might as well spend the 10 bucks and just buy the whole damn issue. So I did that. Haven't used it yet, but I have been running around the Shadowy Forest, the second Transylvanian zone. Dude, you know, Jay and I talked about this last session, man. This is the whole reason I play The Secret World. I love Kingsmouth, the starting area, because it's all Walking Dead and zombies. It's great. Egypt sucks.
Yep.
Ass.
Yep.
Egypt sucks.
Then except for the very last. That very last cutscene, dude. Other
I'm trying
than that, it sucks.
Honestly,
ass.
I'm trying to even remember what the last thing was. I just
on
got
the
out
train?
Of there. Oh, issue 7.
Yeah.
No, issue 6. Issue 6.
Is it 6?
Yeah, because 7 was the spy.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, it was 6.
Yeah. The last train to Cairo or whatever.
Yeah, last train to Cairo. That's it.
Yeah, so that was cool. But like I said, I just got out of Egypt as quickly as I could. And then after Egypt, you go to Transylvania, which for me was the entire reason to play the game. You know, the first besieged farmlands you could run into, plagued with vampires. Love it. The Shadowy Forest is exactly that. It's a haunted kind of forest that's filled with, you know, fey creatures, this and that, and werewolves. So it's pretty cool. I'm enjoying it. I love Transylvania. There again, if I, you know, had someone who had bought regularly, used to play The Secret World, I'd be able to run around these various zones with said person, but what are you gonna do?
I know, right?
Alrighty, so let's head into news. This is going to be a J-heavy show because I don't have a single thing.
That is not news. True. We're gonna have fun with the second thing.
Yeah, we'll talk about it, but Jay has loaded us up with news, so it's all you, buddy. Take it.
Alright, so this week was Comic-Con. For those of you who didn't have a brain or a television or whatever, because geeks have become cool thanks to Big Bang Theory and Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, no one would know what Comic-Con was if it wasn't for Big Bang Theory.
I know.
Right?
Right.
So, that being said, Comic-Con's now the E3 of the geek world. E3 used to be E3 of geek world, but now it's Comic-Con. So, that being, you know, the case... We go to Comic-Con for our news now, and Comic-Con has dropped quite a few things this month, and that's really where a lot of this came from. So you may have heard some of this, or you may not have, if you haven't. EA, Electronic Arts, happens to be one of our favorite studios to bash on. has dropped a new subscription series for the Xbox people. So all you Xbox One people, get your grubby hands on your nasty little controllers and your Surfaces and pay Bill Gates' retirement so that he gets to throw midgets in a blender or whatever it is he does in his spare time. He has decided to team up with them and get AAA titles on a monthly basis for $5 a month. So that means you pay $5 recurrent, you know, I think you can do $30 a year basically. But for $5 a month, they're going to give you access to a digital vault, much like PlayStation 4 is doing now with their digital content. Basically, they take AAA titles, and we're not talking about small titles here. We're talking about Battlefield, three of the major EA sports titles, such as FIFA 14 and obviously the upcoming NCAA and the NBA and NFL titles that they support. But I think you were also mentioning, what, Dragon Age? Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mass Effect, Dragon Age.
Mass Effect, Dragon Age. And I was trying to say this for last because there's a huge thing going on with Mass Effect right now. There was multiple, and I didn't want to do this in front of you before the thing because I wanted to kind of drop it on you because I noticed you probably hadn't seen this. Mass Effect was just pimped out at Comic-Con. Mm. So, I mean, they drug it through the streets like a cheap hooker. It was awesome. They talked about how all the different aspects of Mass Effect 4 that's coming out, from the beginning of, you know, where are we going to go with how they left it in Mass Effect 3, which I don't want to talk about because I haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
But they talked about how much you're going to be able to customize the characters. They've already talked about the interactions between the companions. I mean, they just cannot leave this game alone at Comic-Con. But that's one of the ones that you're going to be able to access for the $5 a month. So we talked, when I say we, my expert panel of people that I work with when I'm in between fixing things at the college. One of them has an Xbox One, and I have another friend who also goes to the college. You know, obviously, there's a bunch of kids at any university that have Xbox Ones. But the ones that I can talk to intelligently are few and far between. So I talked to this young kid, and he is a sports fan. He said for sports fans, this is a dream because it's hard to get the EA sports games for under $50 when they first come out. And then by the time the rosters change and you already know how the season ended up, because that apparently affects how EA places these games, then by then the game's worth nothing. So buying it and turning it in for, you know, buying it for $60 and getting $5 trade in later kind of sucks. And we're talking about just like a couple of months later, not even very long. Mm-hmm. So this is a good thing for them. Now, like I said, from what I'm seeing, it looks like they're going to change this out on a monthly basis. They may change this, but it looks as if it's going to be a subscription, and the subscription changes monthly. So I think we were talking about this, weren't we?
Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what do you think that they're going to be like changing this? Like, say, they'll give you a taste for Dragon Age, and for what I'm seeing, it says they're going to save the content locally to your machine as far as your save games and stuff, not cloud-based. So when it comes time, say they've had it up for a month, they pull it away, you have that stuff local. Do you think this is kind of their way of come by the game from us, or?
I don't know. The reason, excuse me, the reason I say that is because if you read through the article a little bit more, it DLC you have to purchase, and it's not going to be part of the $5 a month. So what I'm hoping, now this is EA, I know, what I'm hoping is if you have to actually buy DLC, then I would hope that the game would be available, you know, 24/7, 365. You know what I'm saying? I kind of picture it more almost as a PlayStation Plus, you know, where once you buy it, now they say you download it to your machine. So what I'm guessing is it's probably going to be something like you download it, you can play it as much as you want, whenever you want. But, you know, I don't think they're going to pull it off of your machine. I don't think they're going to rewrite your hard drive to get rid of it on a monthly basis, but I'm sure when the game starts up, it checks to see if you have a valid subscription, and that's what allows it to work or not. So I'm really hoping, really, let's just say I'm assuming that once a game is on there, it's on there. Because otherwise, go to Gamefly.
Well, and here's the thing. Let me toss this out here too. We both know that GameStop is taking a beating because Walmart and Best Buy are selling used games now. And with what do you want to call it? With the game model changing, since there's so much more bandwidth available nowadays and everyone's downloading, I think that games are going to stay higher priced longer and be available as downloadable more often. And the only way you're going to be seeing, I mean, I hate to say this, physical games, because there's a lot of people who still like to buy physical games. Yeah. But with the memory available and the amount of time people play games nowadays, I'm betting what you're going to see is physical games are going to be at Redbox. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, the literal, I go down there, I rent it just to see if I like it, you know, for one night that's a dollar.
Right, right.
And then I go pay $39.95 instead of $59.95 to download it from the, you know, Xbox. And then I keep it on, you know, in my Xbox account or on the cloud or whatever. But instead of it only being worth $29 2 months later, it stays $39 for longer. I predict a model, and this is maybe just, you know, my marketing class is talking. God, I hate this university. But I predict a stretched out model now that the cloud has become available, with DLC content defining huge generational gaps between games. So when you're talking about DLC being paid for, I'm betting what happens is, and this is just me throwing this out here, I'm not totally disagreeing with you, but only a little bit. I think they're going to let you taste it for $5 a month, buy it for $29 or $39 a month, but leave it at $29 or $39 a month for 7 to 10 months. And then once the DLC, two or three DLC packs have been available, or you buy a, what's it called, a season pass or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
After about so long of the season pass wearing out, that's when the game drops in price, rather than it dropping in price 3 months or 4 months after you've had it and take it to GameStop. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just don't know if that's really going to happen.
No, it's just, right, right.
I'm predicting that. So if you got my trading card, or if you've got Gray's trading card, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. Because while you were talking about that, I was kind of thinking about this. In the article, it mentions that, you know, like Dragon Age Inquisition, which is coming out in October, October 7th, the initial day of Infamy, they're talking about how that will probably be here on the service, on the EA's service. So that got me thinking just real quickly. I can see where it would be, but $5 a month and you get to play Dragon Age? It's EA, it's a AAA title, it's going to be $60.
Yeah.
You know, maybe $50 on a PC, maybe. PC games are starting to take that console pricing and go $60 out of the gate. And EA, as we've said, Jay said, we love to bash on because they're so freaking penny-pinching and, you know, microtransaction you to death. I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, are they... Here's what I kind of picture it, okay? Here's what I picture it. $5 a month, but maybe you only get, like, 2 games a month. Maybe something like that. You know, because like we said, EA is such a heavy sports game, sports ball manufacturer. You know, $5 a month, and you get to play all the various Maddens and FIFAs and... do they do the NBAs?
Yeah.
MLBs? Okay, all that stuff. For $5 a month, that doesn't strike me as very EA. So, man, I don't know. I can see it going both ways. As them trying to be awesome and cool and revamping their image. Here's $5 a month, play our games as much as you want. But I can also see $5 and you expect to get all this? No way. You get 2 games a month.
Yeah.
Unlimited play, but you only get 1 or 2 a month. I can very easily see that. So I don't know. I mean, the article really gave some information, but it didn't really obviously answer the questions that we're coming up with.
Nah.
I think it's a neat idea, and especially if they brought something like that to PC, that would be freaking great. Because, you know, on top of the stuff we've talked about, remember, EA does Dead Space. Mm-hmm. EA publishes SimCity.
Need for Speed series, stuff like that.
Need for Speed. I mean, they have a huge library. And, you know, unfortunately, 3/4 of it is sports, but... yeah. But I don't know. I really hope that it's it's how we're envisioning it, how we want it to be, even though I don't have a next-gen console. I really hope that they end up being the good guys in this instead of the taking the SWTOR model of microtransactioning you about the head and shoulders until you're dazed and out of it.
Boo. Well, there we go. So that's what we got on the EA thing. So keep your eyes open for those of you with the Xbox One. Take a look around, see if it's what you're looking for. And I guess we'll move on to the next thing. All right.
Just real quick. Sorry.
Sure. No, go ahead.
It's coming out on the Xbox. Do you know if they're doing anything similar on PlayStation?
They have not.
You have any idea?
It.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
The only thing that I saw on the PlayStation, believe it or not, to hurt my feelings, was that they have now released the Sony Gay Station, So that's the, and it's up to $2,400 at the moment as we speak. So that's the only thing I saw on Sony being released at Comic-Con, and I was a little wounded, you know. But Comic-Con is right there, right near headquarters, so you know.
Yeah. Now that, if you're not familiar with it, is a PS4.
Now, here's the thing. It's a reskinned PS4.
Right. Jay obviously knows more about it than I do. But they've painted it in rainbow colors. Homosexual thing. Now, are they doing multiples of it, or is it like a charity auction?
No, there is only one. It's produced by a company called Webhallas, which is a... Webhallas is Finnish, I believe.
Oh.
And they're a gaming company, and they've produced one. It was a custom skin. It's a tricked out PS4. And what they're doing is all the money's going towards LGBT, gaming thing. And I personally don't have anything against the demographic. What pisses me off is that they're dragging in the, you know, we all game together, we're all together, you know, and some kids, this is where they go to escape, you know, their bad lives. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, they're gaming. The minute you start talking about what their real lives are like and plaster it all over their gaming thing, then you drag real life into the gaming, and the gaming's no fun anymore. I don't care what you are or who you are, you're at the other end of my muzzle, I'm going to blow you away in that game. You know, if I'm playing, you know, Mass Effect, or I'm playing multiplayer Call of Duty, I don't care what you're like in real life. I want to play games with you, right. And you're going to play your character. And if you're at the other end of, you know, a knife or a gun and it's a shooter, because that's mostly what I play when I play multiplayer, that's the only time I game with other people. Unless I'm playing, you know, Secret World, at which point I'm role-playing my character. Uh-huh. Doesn't matter what my game box looks like. So,
right.
But that being said, $2,400 for a PlayStation, it is a one-of-a-kind. If you want to go bid on it, feel free. It's in Finnish, I don't know what they're called. There's some
Kroner?
Weird... Yeah,
no,
I thought it was Kroner, but it's not. It starts with a D, and I don't know. But whatever.
No,
whatever
idea.
That is.
Don't even know.
So that's the only PlayStation 4, but no, EA is not doing that for PlayStation as far as I know.
Right.
That being said, bye.
All right. Check out EA's upcoming sub if you're into that sort of thing.
Yay.
All right. Moving on.
Wang Badan, right? Chinese Wang Badan.
Badan.
I had to look it up. I was like, oh my God, I just cursed really well. So Firefly Online. For those of you who don't know, all of the characters from Joss Whedon's Firefly who were playing in, yes, the movie and the series will be reprising their roles in an online version of the game to be produced by... Who's making it? Because I hadn't heard of that game company before.
I'm looking
it up right now.
Yeah, because it was originally to be produced, and I can't remember the name of the company. They dropped it, and this other company picked it up.
It was the game... Crap, I lost. I had it right here highlighted, too, man. Epic fail. Epic fail, dude.
Well,
there it is.
That's the glory of editing.
I know, right? It's supposed to come out spring 2015, PC, Mac, via Steam, by the way, and also iOS and Android. So that, I thought that was pretty cool. Yep. But dead gummit. Dying out of here. Oh my God. All right. Edit that part.
Yeah, we'll be editing this out a little bit. Spark Plug Games.
Spark plug. Thank you. I went to the Facebook page to find it. Oh my God, dude.
Spark plug.
So there you go.
And I'm trying to remember the exact story behind it. Someone was going to make it, and they were like, oh, crap, we can't do it. I think Sparkplug picked it up, and they were like, we're going to make it. And then I think Fox, who owns the franchise, of course, Fox, whatever their game side is, said, you know, we'll work with you. Because, you know, I guess they saw more money to be made in working with the company instead of taking them to court and getting a cease and desist. So,
yeah, well, yeah, you got to learn your lessons from Stowe, right?
That's right.
But anyway, so the voice players will all be reprising their roles in the game. Players will have customizable ships. You'll be rocketing around in the Firefly universe, or verse, as it's commonly called.
Yeah, the verse.
That's right. And apparently you will go on missions and do exploratory stuff. They haven't gotten super deep into it. I did want to watch this trailer here, but I hadn't had a chance to. Is it a good trailer? Go for it.
No, it is not a good trailer.
What?
Nope. Now, here's the thing. I'm not a big Joss Whedon fan, but I do loves me some Firefly. I'm very new to the series. I've only seen the series within the past year, I think. I didn't watch it when it was on, and like I said, you know, everyone, I lost a lot of geek cred with my friends. What? You've never seen Firefly? So we watched it, loved it, fell in love with it. So, when they first announced, we're doing a Firefly MMO, as you can imagine, the gaming community went
apeshit.
Yeah. Like, oh my God.
Thumping their feet. Oh, breadcrumbs. Yeah, breadcrumbs.
Yeah. Breadcrumbs. There's a look up Goose.
We'll post GIF. It. Let's post it.
We'll post it in the show notes. They went nuts. Oh my God. Firefly. Da 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 da. And I was telling Jay before the show, I talked to a buddy of mine just yesterday who's a huge Firefly and Traveler fan. And he was like, oh, MMO, Firefly. And I had to, you know, just one second there, you know, throw a wrench in his gears.
Ouch.
Yeah, watch the trailer. But this is a social game. This is not, I mean, I guess in the strictest definition, it is an MMO because it is a massively multiplayer online. But if you're picturing yourself running around, you know, Warcraft, EQ, Star Wars, The Old Republic style, not so fast. Hold on just a second. What you need to picture is almost an isometric view, you know, top-down Diablo style. The graphics, at least what they're showing in the trailer, look reminiscent almost of the recently released Shadowrun Returns. So kind of updated Super Nintendo. What this is, now here's what we mean by social game. Facebook. That's what a social game is Facebook. So your Farmvilles, your any other ville. That's what this is. Now it says that there's going to be 200 worlds to visit. I'm assuming you'll be able to do, you know, trading. Run to this planet, pick this up, go to this planet to deliver it. I'm sure there's probably going to be some kind of maybe military. You know, I can't remember what the army was called in Firefly.
Feds. Maybe some,
what, feds?
The feds.
The feds. Maybe there'll be a fed side to it, or at least maybe, you know, patrolling or something like that, combat. But yeah, this is not going to be a great game, in my opinion. Based off of the description and based off the video. Have you watched it yet, Jay?
Yeah, I'm in the middle of watching it. It looks like it was developed as a platformer game for iOS.
Yes.
And
yes.
What they did is they said, okay, let's take the very minimum that we are going to program for, and then we're going to go up from there. So I'm going to check out the QM, who also seem to be going into it with Sparkplug, to take a look. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Either way, I'm probably going to play this game. I'm not going to lie to you because I am one of those rabid fans.
Yeah,
but
I'll definitely check it out. Like I said, if you go into this is a social game. This is an iPad game. iOS. It's an iPad game.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into it with that mindset, you're probably going to love it, especially being a Firefly fan. But like I said, if you're a hardcore raiding World of Warcraft player and you're like, oh, I'm going to get my cunning armor, you're probably going to be disappointed as hell.
Yeah, I'd say that. Just looking at what you were, the ground game looks third person over the shoulder, much like you said in Diablo, or Shadowrun. But the ship customization, apparently that's going to be your home, your captain's cabin, and all the stuff where you show off all your stuff. That's probably going to be the social point where you invite people over to see your cabin or your ship.
Exactly.
I did not see any ship combat, but it did look like you can customize your ships. And it did look like it's going to be mission oriented base. So, but again, with systems, you know, upgrading as fast as they are, you know, with the Tegra 4 coming to Android, and well, I mean, we'll just leave Apple alone because they do what they want when they damn well want.
Right.
But with the Android Tegra, the Shield, and Nvidia being so deeply involved in Steam, and it did say it's going to be available on Steam. That's why I'm betting. I bet it's going to be one of the games that comes out as part of the Steam OS, since it's going to be iOS. It said Android and iOS, so it means it's going to be Linux-based. So that means that it's going to come out for the Steam platform, because that's supposed to be burgeoning. I mean, you can download the Steam platform, build your own Steam box right now. But I'm betting that's what they're shooting for in the end, because it's a low-cost development, and they're, you know, they're capitalizing on an IP that's just so untapped. It's not funny.
Now, if the wiki page is up to date, and if the wiki page is accurate, all right, Windows, Mac OS, iOS, and Android. That's the projected cross-platform that they're aiming for. So.
Yep. That means it's Linux-based, because Mac OS is Linux. So Linux. Oh, yeah, and PC developed on Linux.
Right. Let's see, players will assemble a crew and will need to choose crew members who possess the skills and abilities they need, such as engineering or weaponry skills. So,
Kaylee and Jane.
Yeah, right, exactly. So there will be some kind of combat, ship-based combat. Let's see here, development is planning to add future DLC, which may include the ability to switch to the Alliance faction.
The Alliance, that's what it was, the Feds.
The Alliance. So the Feds, yep. And the inclusion of Reavers. So, yeah, like I'm in agreement with you, man. As long as this thing is not like some crazy $20 or $30,
yeah,
I will probably check it out.
I would probably do $19 to $29, but I would not go above that. I would not pay more than $30.
I would not go above $20, but that's just me.
That I liked Firefly. I watched the very first episode, and me and Sybil just about cried whenever they were like, "Oh, you know, we're gonna put it in this time slot." I was like, "No, don't put it in that time slot," and it died. And I was like, "No." So, and I'm not a huge Joss fan. My wife likes Angel. She loves Buffy, and I'm like, "Yeah, they're okay." I liked Dollhouse, and you know, I've liked more of his serious stuff, but I love Dollhouse, and to me, that's just about as serious as he got.
Right.
And that kind of stuff I really liked. And Firefly was just it. And I've hated Fox since then. Just to throw that out there, you know?
Yeah.
So that being said, I'll pay up to $29 for that, but I will not go above $29. If it's like $40, you can kiss it.
Ugh. That's horrible. And yeah, like Jay said, the original, all the cast are coming back to voice their characters, I guess, which you'll probably meet at some point in the game. And if you watch the trailer, it's actually voiced, VO'd by Shepard, the Shepherd. I don't know the actor's name.
Shepherd Book, yeah.
Yeah, the guy from Barney Miller.
I know, right?
We just dated
ourselves right there. We knew what that was.
Right, yep. And I think even...
Tyduck Wash?
No, not Wash. Nathan Fillion has like a little 2-second thing at the end of the trailer.
Yeah, the blurb at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're a Firefly fan, you know, and you're not, your hopes aren't too high, I guess.
Yep.
But like I said, it may end up being one of the most awesome things out there. So,
can't be worse than Kim Kardashian, right?
Oh, dude.
I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Oh, my God. All right, moving on.
All right, killing that thought process. let's go to, I don't know, I'm a gamer, you're a gamer. We've all had our WTF moments playing our games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you're playing the game and you just cannot believe a programmer put whatever just happened into a game, right?
Yep.
So I ran across called 10 Genuine WTF Moments in Video Games while I was cruising What Culture. And I could not believe that they actually were just kind of in my head, because this particular one that I want to talk about, there's 10 of them, and I'm going to put the link up on the show notes, obviously. But they have 10 moments that they consider WTF moments, classic moments of all time, while playing video games. And I agree with most of them. There's a few that I'd say, whatever. But this particular one, I don't know if anyone here has ever played any, you know, GameCube games, because that was, I don't know, do you want to call that a very limited outing? Yeah. I mean, you know,
I don't know. The GameCube was really popular. I mean, Zelda.
Yeah, but I mean, it was popular because of Zelda, really.
Right. And GoldenEye.
Yeah, and GoldenEye. Good point. Good point there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it was just a beefed up, you know.
Yeah.
It was really just a beefed up mess.
Right. Right.
And then, you know, anyway, that being said, Eternal Darkness was the name of the game. It came out in 2002. It was a Nintendo GameCube game. Survival horror game. A lot like, what was it? Starts with an R. With Resident Evil. Thank you.
Resident Evil.
Thank you. Thank you. So a lot like Resident Evil. And I say that because it's a survival game where you have a sanity meter, right? And for those of us who ever played role-playing games having anything to do with Cthulhu, you know that the human psyche can only take so much damage, right?
Yep.
So there comes a point where they have to simulate you playing the game, not only being scared, but they, what they call breaking the fourth wall, right?
Yeah.
And the fourth wall is when you've been sucked into the game where you can't tell the difference between the game and reality. And you're like, haha, that's funny. No, there's ways to do that. And that's what game developers really look for. They want to make you love that game psychotically. And the only way to do that is to really break through what you'd consider a gaming norm. So, like, one of the things in here is as you're getting beat up, you lose sanity, and it's a little meter on the right-hand side. Once it drops to below nothing, weird crap starts to happen to you. And I think I was telling you there was this one where I was getting beat up, and I had the lights off, and it was a big screen TV. It was a 32-inch Sony CRT. This is back when, you know, TVs still had tubes. Most of these kids won't remember this. But there was a time when a TV was a monstrous thing, right? So this was a 32-inch TV with a big tube, and I lived in an apartment, and the house was, you know, completely dark, and I was playing at like 2 a.m. in the morning, which I should have been playing. And so he loses all his sanity. Well, I see a roach run across the screen, and I was like, damn it, the apartment has roaches again, son of a... You know, because it was a big roach, right?
Right.
It was one of those kind that come from trees outside,
right.
Not a small one. And I was like, damn. And then, like, I get hit again. Well, actually, there comes another part. And then, like, 10 roaches run across the screen all at once in different directions. I was like, holy crap. And then I was like, wait a second. Whoa, wait. And I walk over and I flip on the light. The game developers, that's part of going insane in this game. So, like, that's just one thing. Well, halfway through the game, there comes a point where your character, they know you're going to be, you know, just completely, you're going to have the crap kicked out of you. And this game, as part of breaking down the fourth wall, develops the BSOD, the blue screen of death. And basically, it goes dark for half a second, and then all of a sudden it pops up, and it tells you, your game's been lost, there's a critical error, all of your data's been lost, the GameCube is malfunctioned, the only way to fix it is completely reset it and wipe everything. This is a game developer trick, and I'm telling you, I promise you, there's all across America when this thing came out, there were broken TV screens and broken game controllers. Did you play this game?
No, I did not, but I've heard a lot of people complain about it.
Oh my God, dude. So I'm gonna go ahead and put the show notes, the link to it. But it's just horrible, because it comes at a point, not only do you not expect it, but it's like really... it's a key part of the game. And no spoilers, you know, because I know this is an old game. I mean, it's over 12 years old at this point.
Right.
But it's still worth playing. Oh, my God. So that being said, if anyone throws in, you know, if anyone throws a blue screen of death up on your video game, you're just like, no. and you just, you know, throw that thing across it. Then you're like, oh, wait a second. You know, that's not a fatal exception here. Wait a second. So, that being said, there's a couple of other ones on here. Have you ever played the game Lollipop Chainsaw?
I have not.
Okay, so it's basically, let's just say, we'll call it a zombie killer game, you know?
Yeah, it is.
And leave it at that.
Yep.
But it has a lot of Tekken-style characters in it, you know, or, you know, those little bitty, manga girls.
Right.
So there's one that's dressed up as a cheerleader. Have you heard about this?
Oh, yeah, and that's the main character, Jessica.
Yeah, Jessica, that's right. She's the cheerleader, and she... You can change your aspect in the game to look around the screen. And one of the things that everyone, all the young men like to do apparently, is move the screen around until they can see under her dress, right? Now, I know no one has ever done that. No males in the audience listening has ever done that. So, but the difference in this game and all the others is as soon as you do that, after you spend so many seconds doing that and you get a clear shot of her clear shot, you gain an achievement that's put up on your Xbox page that says I it was an accident, really. I didn't mean to do it. So there's actually a publicly viewable shame wall for people who've been staring at Jessica's panties.
Right.
So I thought that was an awesome WTF moment. And there's a few more in there, you know, the Shadow of Colossus moment at the very end. That's a big one. And then, you know, the Seamus disrobe, that's a big one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Did you see any of the others that you remember?
Well, not necessarily. But, you know, I have to say that one of them that I'm surprised is not in there is from BioShock. The first BioShock.
One?
Well, I know you haven't finished the game.
Oh, when you find out who the person really is, are you? Who you are.
Yeah, when you find out all the stuff that's actually happened and who you are, I mean, I can't believe that. I can't believe that didn't make one of the top 10.
I'd have to say yeah, because I mean, you know, being an Ayn Rand thing, you know, I'm a big Ayn Rand person.
Well, just the whole "would you kindly" thing. I don't get it. I don't know why in the world that didn't make the list, but
yeah. Well. So, but you did see some of the others?
I think it was actually number 2. Cuz you know the when you check out the link, it starts at, you know, the number 10, which like Jace said is the Metroid, you know, the Samus removes his armor and dun dun dun, it's actually a woman. It starts at number 10, goes all the way up to number 1, of course. Number 2 is from Fallout 3, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, when you blow up Megaton.
Where you have the option to, right. Instead of disarming the nuke, you choose to detonate it based on that slime ball who tries to get you to do it.
Aww.
There again, you know, I've talked about it, a game I never really could get into, but I did find the, what was it?
Call of Duty 4 nuke?
No. In Fallout, the cola that gives you the super smarts.
Oh, yeah.
To disarm. Yeah, that's about as far as I got. But yeah, and then number 1 is the Call of Duty 4 nuke, which I've never played, so.
Oh, dude, I gotta admit, that was probably one of the defining moments. And yep, it sure is. So. But that being said, I liked the fact that they did this. I wish more places would do stuff like this instead of just, you know, reporting. Just say, look, don't you remember in the game whenever this happened? Because that's what really makes a community of gamers. It's not, you know, all the other stuff. It's how did you handle when they threw this at you? And you're like, holy crap, I remember that.
Right.
So that's just really awesome. And that's what makes a real brotherhood of gamers. And I thought it was good. And that's the reason I included it. So. I don't know.
Just a quick side note, Jessica from Lollipop Chainsaw, I believe she was modeled after, if you're familiar with the cosplayer, Jessica Negri.
Really?
Yep, they were modeled after her, and in-game she is voiced by Tara Strong. I'm a huge Tara Strong fan.
Me too.
You know, I can't even begin to name all the voices she does, but you know, Bubbles from the Powerpuff Girls. For me, she's Harley Quinn from the Batman games.
Mr. B.
Mr. J. Yep.
Yeah. Sorry, B-Man.
Hey, Bats. You're right. Yeah, B-Man. But yeah, check Google Images for Jessica Negri, and she even has Instagram, Facebook. She does the cosplay, like I said, for Jessica from Lollipop Chainsaw. And I mean, they very obviously modeled the character after her. So, I mean, it was a cooperative thing, you know. But yeah, check it out. She looks they look exactly alike.
All right. So, last thing, you want to go ahead and do this? Did you watch it?
No, you know what? I have not watched it yet.
So oh, dude. All right. Well, we went ahead and posted this link. I saw it. I couldn't believe it that they would actually let him do it. I mean, I got to admit, Ubisoft, you really don't expect them to come out of right field with some weird crap like this because they maintain a pretty good stranglehold on their IPs. The Tom Clancy stuff, and he's dead now, so we're not going to see a lot of Tom Clancy stuff. But Rainbow Six, man, they've owned that since day one. Las Vegas, the original Rainbow Sixes, all the DLC, everything. They've maintained a tight hold on that. Even the modding community got strangled for a while. So when you see Ubisoft take something that is already pretty provocative, like Assassin's Creed, which they went, they start off with the first two, the NZO and stuff, and then they finally got forward and you're doing the American Revolution, and then they make George Washington a tyrant. That was really dangerous stuff there.
Right.
I expected them to lose a lot more popularity than they did releasing it at the time they did, with so many patriots coming back from overseas, you know, soldiers hearing about George Washington not being the man you thought he was, right?
Right.
So then they went to the pirates, right? And then now you've got the skinned female liberator, Libertine, I think is the name of that DLC for the I haven't gotten it yet. I mean, I own it, but I haven't played it yet.
Mm-hmm.
For Black Sails, and I was just like, wow, that's gonna be fun to play. So I can't wait to play it. I own it, but I haven't played it yet. But that being said, that's still provocative, you know, freeing slaves as a slave, right? So I was thinking, well, where else can they go? Well, the Unity is going to release on October 28th, and everyone's just, you know, bated breath because that is one of the things that PS4 is getting, right? Well, Rob Zombie and the what's the cartoonist for Walking Dead? Tom, I forget his last name. Crap, help me out here.
Mm.
You know who I'm talking about.
I do not.
Yeah, hold on. Dadgummit, I forget the guy's name. But anyway, he's one of the cartoonists for Walking Dead. And I want to say it's Tom. It's not Cook. Dadgummit. Anyway, so they did a 5-minute animated short as a lead into Unity. And man, if you know Rob Zombie, you know that it is not going to not be offensive. We're talking about flesh, blood, guts. It's who he is, you know? I mean,
oh yeah,
very astro creep. Let's just say that. But
he lives for zombie stuff.
Oh yeah, and honestly, you know, I was like, and the Walking Dead guy, really? So it's a 5-minute short. It's on YouTube. You don't have to pay anything, or you know, tell your age or anything like that. So I'm going to include it. But it is vicious, man, what they're talking about. I don't know who did the voice acting. I'd like to look it up because he's a pretty good voice actor, very French sounding. It's not like Gerard Depardieu or anybody, but it's close. So it tells the story of the lead up where the people revolted, you know, taking the Bastille, and then the rise to power of Robespierre, and then Robespierre's, you know, just absolute abuse of the public, and, you know, how bad revolution can be when it's turned on its ear. Basically, it started for a good reason and then the bad people hijacked it and turned it into something really bad. So I'm wondering if they're actually doing a political commentary here. But that being said, it looks really good. It's done well. I suggest you watch it, and it's something to whet your palate for Unity, which is coming soon. So you need to watch it, man.
I will. I'll have to check it out. I love practically anything Walking Dead.
Oh yeah, and it starts off with the whole, you know how they do the thing where it's the animation stopped and it's kind of mobile on a static background.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's how it starts off, and then it actually has some actual, you know, movement in there, and it's over the top. The whole thing's over the top, but that's just how Rob Zombie is. So loved his version of Halloween, though. Gotta admit, loved Halloween. Mm-hmm. But so that's that. I just wanted to throw that out there that all this that you're talking about, except for the WTF moments, by the way, came from Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I didn't want to watch the Hunger Games trailer. So
no, my wife's really big on Hunger Games, but yeah, not me. You know what? I did watch the Tusk trailer.
Tusk? Hadn't seen that yet.
Kevin Smith's new kind of horror / super, super dark comedy. It looks interesting.
Looking at it now.
Yeah. That was just another released at Comic-Con kind of thing.
Coming a Walrus? Really?
Yep.
Oh my god.
Man, there was this movie that came out in the super late 80s or early 90s called Boxing Helena. Have you ever seen that?
Yes, that was a weird freaking... Oh, who directed? Because I remember the director was very, very... They were like, oh, I can't believe you directed that.
I honestly don't remember. I just remember Julian Sands was in it.
Yes.
And I can't remember who Helena actually was played by.
It wasn't Helena Bonham Carter, was it?
No. This chick was way too pretty to be Helena Bonham Carter. I can't remember, but you know, if you know Julian Sands, king of the weird and creepy and sci-fi in the late 80s.
Sherilyn Finn,
that's who it was?
Yeah.
Tusk reminds me a lot of Boxing Helena.
Wow.
A lot of it, yeah. If you want a really good throwback, super weird movie, watch Boxing Helena. I think it's rated R, but, you know, if you don't care about boobies and 1980s sex scenes, then check it out.
Tusk
is a lot like that. Oh, you know, quick little bit of trivia. Boxing Helena is where I very first heard the song by Enigma, the group Enigma, Sadness Part 1.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of when Gregorian chant really kind of hit big.
Yeah, the early 90s, right? Like 91 through 93.
Right. And you may not know Enigma. I had a couple of their albums because I used to love trance and club and everything else, all that music. When you hear the song, you'll know it because it's been used hundreds of times and everything. But yeah. Nice big
awesome
tangent-sized trivia there.
All right, and I guess I don't know. You want to go for the last thing here?
Yeah, go ahead.
So Bored to Death is a .tv. They've been doing reviews of geeky stuff since 2009 and filming it and putting it on the internet. So they were cool before we were. And just to give them their props, they did a review on a game that we have yet to purchase that I really still want to purchase. The Archer board game. And they posted it today, and I was stoked at what they said about it. You know, it makes me want to purchase it more because they break everything down, you know, piece by piece and talk about, you know, was the fun factor this? Was the production quality this? You know, elements of strategy, luck, artwork, rulebook, all that stuff. So they break it down, and Archer overall got a 6 out of 10, which is pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a $40 game, right?
Yeah.
It's like $39. But what I liked most is that they said that the artwork and rule book and production quality were all top notch.
Nice.
So you're getting what you pay for.
Right.
Now, I also looked up the fun factor and replayability because those are your two favorite things. Is it fun to play and can I play it ever again? Both of those got 6 out of 10. So it averaged 6 out of 10 for all that. And then artwork got 8 out of 10. And production value and rulebook got 7 out of 10. So, unfortunately, Strategic Element only got 3 out of 10. So, if you're looking for a strategy game, this is definitely not it. The luck element, yeah, right? The luck element, apparently, once you have a good hand, you can pretty much dominate the game, I'm guessing. That's what they mean by luck element, because luck is only rated at 3. But like I said, player interactions way up there at 6 out of 10. So that's really what it is. It's a let's get drunk and have fun playing Archer game, and that's right. what I look at it as, and that's what I would pay right. for. And it looks like that's what you'll get. But check out their review. It takes about 6 minutes or so to watch their review of the game. And again, this is going to be one of many because they've actually already pre-named it the Danger Zone. So there's going to be more you know, expansions, I'm guessing, onto the game. So. But that's good because I love Archer. And wanted to go ahead and include that and give them their props and tell them thank you for doing all that work for us. But I still want to get together with you and pick up this game, Dave. I'm telling you, we need to get together and play this.
Yep.
All right. Well, I guess that's about it for me. You got anything?
No, I sure don't.
Tusk, I mean?
Yeah, Tusk. Well, I guess we'll wrap it here. Thanks for listening. As usual, Black Lace will have our pertinence on the way out. Shoot me a friend invite or a tell on PlayStation, Raptor, or Steam under Teletech 77062.
You can check me out at Jason, JaySynn, at Raptor, Steam, and PlayStation. Feel free to come and shoot me. I like it.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Y'all take care.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at the Pulse Gamecast. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thepulsegamecast@gmail.com.